So the Bhagavad Gita deals with pravritti and nivritti. The whole essential message of the entire Bhagavad Gita or of any of the scriptures is pravritti and nivritti. Pravritti means what I should do, and nivritti is what I should not do. So the do's and don'ts, which are covered, whether you look at the Bible, look at the Buddha's teachings, Quran, Bhagavad Gita, everywhere this message is very clear. Now, what I should do depends, first of all, where I am in life, what station, whether I am a student or a householder or retired. Also on my abilities, like if I'm short, 5'6", I should not try out, you know, for the Los Angeles Lakers to play basketball. Or if I'm only 130 pounds, I should not try to play in the NFL. So my abilities to some extent decide what I should do. And then the scriptures tell us, especially the Bhagavad Gita starts with the message of karma yoga. What is the right action? And we'll be talking in more detail about karma yoga in the third chapter. But how I should work, dedicating my activities to the Lord, working unselfishly for the benefit of others. And that should be the goal of all actions. And what does karma yoga lead? It leads to chitta shuddhi. Chitta shuddhi means purification of mind. And the scriptures all emphasize that purity of mind is very, very important for anything. To study the scriptures, you need that. To go to the temple, to evolve spiritually. And what do we mean by purity of mind? A mind that is pure, free of negative qualities, anger, greed, jealousy, hatred, and filled with love, compassion, kindness, unselfishness. Also a mind that is not agitated or disturbed. You know, if I am too disturbed with too many problems and the world is all sitting on my head, then such a mind will not be ready for meditation, will not be ready for study. Even when I'm studying a book or listening to a discourse, my mind is all the time in its problem. So chitta shuddhi is a mind that is a clean, and secondly, that is not agitated. Just as water, if it is dirty, then the sun's reflection you won't see if it's a bucket of water. Or if it is very agitated, then again the sun's reflection you won't see. But a water that is quiet and clean, when the sun shines on that, it reflects it beautifully. So similarly, the Lord or the consciousness with us can only be reflected purely in a mind that is pure and a mind that is undisturbed. So, chitta shuddhi. So, once you have purity of mind, then you get jnana prapti. And what is that? Obtaining knowledge. Knowledge, as we said, can only stay in a quiet mind, in a peaceful mind. And then once I have this knowledge, which the Bhagavad Gita in the third chapter will tell us, then in further and fourth, and then in the fifth chapter, the Gita says, karma sannyas. But now slowly I should withdraw from activities. As I am getting older and I'm comfortable, then slowly as my children have gone and I have more time, I should withdraw from activities and spend more time in spiritual pursuit, like Arun is doing. He's a good example where he's devoting a lot of his time, I see, to yoga, study, meditation, you know, those kind of self-improvement. So that is called karma sannyas. And then once you have karma sannyas, once you have reduced your activity, because if you are working 100% in the world morning to night, and then you want to sit and study the Bhagavad Gita, is difficult. So give aside some time undisturbed, where I should have some time in the evening or at night for my study, for meditation, for silence, for sitting and doing nothing. So slowly, slowly, as you withdraw from the activities, you get jnana nishtha, where now this knowledge is firmly embedded. First, it was the guru's knowledge, or it was Krishna's knowledge, Bhagwan's knowledge. But then it becomes my knowledge. I have understood it as me. You know, this is not Krishna talking to Arjuna, but Krishna talking to me, and it becomes my understanding. And then I totally become firmly established in the knowledge. Even if somebody wakes me up in the middle of the night, I can know who I am, I can know what is my purpose. And then the last is abide in the self, self-abidance, where I am then firmly. And that is the state of these the saints and Mahatmas who at all times are with God, are with God. And God is not only outside, but God is within, and that is their abidance. So that is the stepwise progression, as we will see through the Bhagavad Gita. We will be following these steps, and Bhagwan Krishna will take us through all these steps ultimately to the highest knowledge. And so that is a brief summary of what, you know, the 18 chapters mean. So far in the first chapter, we have studied Duryodhana, the head of the Kauravas, was very worried because he, you know, when you have done something wrong, when you are dishonest, then you are always worried. And so he was worried, and he goes and approaches his teacher, and he doesn't know how the war is going to turn out. So we can see his confusion, his. And then at that time, Bhishma, the head of the Pandava Kaurava army, blows his conch, signifying the beginning of the war. And then the Pandavas respond by blowing their conches. The blowing the conches is meant to inspire the troops. Just as we had talked last time, when there are two football teams, the fans of the home team will cheer so that the team may do better. And so that is where we stopped last time. And we saw that there were great warriors on both sides, and it was going to be a major conflict. And so Arjuna, when we ended on Sunday, asked Sri Krishna that please take my chariot in between the two armies, station that. And Krishna did, but instead of putting it in front of the evil Kauravas, he put it in front of Bhishma and Drona, whom Arjuna respected. This is my teacher, this is my grandfather. And the reason he did it, we'll talk a little more about that today. We did cover it last week. So we'll start from chapter 1, verse number 28. So verse number 27, he says, where it says, Shvasuran suhridas chaiva senoyor ubhayorapi tan samikshya sakanteya sarvan bandhu navastitan. Having seen all his relatives, his uncle, his grandfather, his brothers, his cousins, on both sides, he said there's going to be a major, major conflict, and there's going to be tremendous destruction between these two families. So what happened to him? So there's just one line, verse number 27. Kripaya paraya vishtaha. Vishitannidam abravit. So kripaya means with pity, with compassion. Paraya vishtaha, he was in deep pity, he was covered with pity, with compassion, with sorrow, and vishidan, and these sorrowful words, idam abravit. So seeing, as I said, the two armies, just with cousins, with, you know, members of the same family. One is Pandu's children and Dhritarashtra's children. The Pandu and Dhritarashtra were brothers. And so he could foresee how much catastrophe is going to happen with this fratricidal war. And his mind was filled with compassion, with pity. That what is the tragedy that is going to unfold? Now Gurudev in his commentary said that this was a temporary delusion, was a moha. It was not true compassion. Because if he was truly compassionate, like Buddha, for example, then he would say, okay, my goal is non-violence. I will not fight. Whatever happens, I'll just give. But he was all ready to fight. He was there. He was prepared. 12 years in the forest, he had been getting ready, doing so much tapas, collecting all the weapons. And he had got weapons from all the gods. Weapons from all the gods, it's not necessarily that the gods were favoring him. But when we do tapas, when we put in a lot of effort, gods favor us. See, when you put in a lot of effort, you succeed. And so 12 years, he had put in so much effort to acquire weapons. So it's not that gods were favoring him. God favors one who helps himself. God helps one who helps himself. So he had put in so much effort. So he was ready, and all of a sudden to get this moha, this delusion, because that's what happens to us. You know, we say I'm going to do something. It's like I decide, okay, this Saturday I'm going to clean all the drawers, you know, clean up my house. It's been a mess. So all enthusiastic, I have my breakfast, and about 9:30, 10 o'clock, I sit down and I open the first drawer, and what do I see? Old albums. So I start looking, you know, children and grandchildren. Oh, you know, when the children were 1 year old and my first birthday, and what happens? Most of my day is gone. So you start with one thing, but then you get sidetracked. So similarly, Arjuna had come with a particular goal in mind, but he got sidetracked because of wrong thinking. And how it was wrong thinking, I will talk about that in the next verse. Verse number 28. Arjuna uvacha. Drishtve mam swajanam Krishna. Yutsum samupasthitam. Sidanti mama gatrani. Mukhan cha parishushyati. Vepathuscha sharire me. Maharshascha jayate. So Arjuna vach, Arjuna spoke. What he said? Drishtva imam. Seeing imam, these swajanam. Swajanam means these are my own people. What I am seeing on the other side, I was thinking it is the enemy, but they are not. They are my own people. O Krishna. And yuyutsum samupasthitam, and they are ready for war. What is happening to me? Sidanti mama gatrani. My limbs, gatrani, my limbs are trembling. They are shaking. I can't even, my hands, my legs are just shaking. And mukham cha parishushyati, and my mouth, mukham cha parishushyati, is completely dry. It's like I need water. You know, I can't even speak properly. And what's happening? Vepathuscha sharire me, and my body is trembling. My whole body, sharira, vepathuscha, and roma harshascha jayate, and my hair are standing on end. So this is the typical state of somebody who is under the influence of anxiety neurosis. But he doesn't know what to do. My mouth is dry, my limbs are trembling, my whole body is shaking. And what am I to do? They are here ready to fight. And that's what Krishna says. He says, look, you didn't come here for a wedding. You didn't come here, you know, for doing a puja or a kirtan. You came here for war, and those guys are ready. Even if you are not ready, they are going to fight. They are going to attack you. So it's not that suddenly, if you decide to declare peace, there is not going to be peace. There is going to be violence regardless of what you decide. Now, why does this happen to Arjuna? See, Arjuna was not a coward. He was a great warrior. It's not that he was afraid of the army. He knew that he could handle them, especially with the Lord with him. He was not afraid. In fact, he had fought Lord Shiva himself. Last week, I didn't tell the story, but it's a beautiful story. So it is said that one time when they were in the forest, you know, as a part of their, when they had lost in gambling, they were supposed to go to the forest for 12 years. And so Arjuna was training and, you know, practicing how to shoot and, you know, as I said, even shooting in the dark, even shooting at sound so that he could even, you know, fight even in the dark. And one day he was going, walking, and suddenly he heard the sound of a wild boar, you know, just moving behind the bushes. So he just took his arrow and shot it. You know, maybe they needed it for food or just, you know, for practice. And so he shot the wild boar, and he was sure my one arrow would have killed him. And so he goes there and he finds the wild boar dead on the floor, but there is a second arrow. He said, who shot this arrow? And there's another hunter who comes, Kirat. He says, I shot this arrow. So he says, "Well, I shot it too, so this boar belongs to me." The hunter said, "No, the boar belongs to me." So Arjuna says, "Okay, you can take it." Now that hunter was nobody but Lord Shiva himself. He had come to test Arjuna. So he tells Arjuna, "You're going to give up the boar without a fight? You know, both of us shot it." "I don't want to fight over a boar. You can have it." You know, Arjuna was a very, you know, peaceful kind of a person, even though he was a wonderful warrior. So Shiva wanted to just provoke him. He says, "You are just a coward." So he says, "It's okay, coward, it's okay. I'm not going to fight over a boar." He says, "You know why you are a coward? Because you are friend with that cowherd boy." "What is his name? Krishna? Krishna somebody." "He's just a coward, cowherd. He just roams around with the gopis, never has done anything in his life. That is your friend. That's why you don't." See, Shiva was just wanting to. Now Arjuna gets mad. He says, "You call me a coward, call me names, but Krishna, my friend, you dare insult him? Let's fight." So he picks up his bow and arrow, and they have a great fight. And Arjuna was able to match Shivji, bow to bow, arrow to arrow. That great a warrior he was. And the battle goes on for hours. And then Shivji afterwards reveals himself and says, "You know, son, I'm very proud of you. You've done a wonderful job." And he blesses him with, he says, "I was just testing you. I was just teasing. I didn't, of course, Krishna and I are one. You know, of course, they are all one. They have no difference. It is we who say, oh, Krishna is this and Shiva is this. In that sphere, there is only one Brahman, one consciousness, whether it's Krishna or Jesus or Buddha, or they are all manifestations of that one divinity. So for us to argue that this is superior and that is inferior is just stupidity. The one God I love, my Ishta Devta, that is good. You love the God of your choice, but do not think that one is superior to the other. They are all one." So Shivji says, "I'm very pleased with you, son," and he blesses him with a Pashupati Astra, which is a very, very powerful weapon. So the point is that Arjuna was not afraid. You know, if he could challenge the Lord himself, then you think he would be afraid of the Kaurava army. But he was, as we talked last week, a pacifistic, that, you know, war is not good and there will be a problem. So, and we'll talk about that a little later, but what is happening to him is what we call as fever. Now normally, suppose you have a high fever, right, and I have a high temperature and I, you know, my body is shaking and shivering, then what happens? The mind gets disturbed, the intellect stops functioning. You say, "I can't go to work, I can't do anything, I'm too sick, I'm just going to lie down in bed." And you tell him, "Read the paper," or, "No, I can't read, I can't even eat." So the body affects the mind and affects the intellect. In Arjuna's case, it was the opposite. Intellectually, he was confused. What is my duty? And so when he was intellectually confused, then his mind didn't know what to do. See, the mind is always taking instructions from the intellect. But when the intellect is confused, the mind is obviously confused. It's like when the manager doesn't come to work and the clerk or the secretary or the receptionist is used to taking instructions. The manager is not there. Now she has to take decisions, or he, and he says, "I don't know what to do," because everything comes from the top. And so he cannot take his own decision. So the intellect is confused. The mind doesn't know what to do. Obviously the body, you know, gets all the instructions from the mind. So here also we see that because his intellect was confused, his body is trembling, and it is sweating, and his mouth is dry. And so that's what we see. And same thing when, for example, when you first start public speaking. I remember when I first started public speaking, and you're speaking in front of a crowd, you look at the audience and, "Oh, what am I going to say?" And then either you speak too fast or you forget. And so that is what's happening to him, because all these years he was planning, and now he's actually faced with the situation. So he doesn't know what to do. So one is what happens to the body. Now let's see what happens to his mind. We'll go ahead with the 30th verse, and then maybe after a couple of verses, we'll take a short break. So verse number 30. गांडीवं संस्रते हस्तात् त्वक्चैव परिदह्यते न च शक्नोम्यवस्थातुम् भ्रमतीव च मे मनः. So Gandivam, Gandiva was his bow, had been again given to him by the gods. Gandiva was his bow that he always kept by with himself. And Gandiva, he kept with himself not to protect himself, but to protect others. That was his goal in life, was to help others. He was a very, very decent, very, you know, very spiritual person. So Gandivam, so the bow that I always kept with myself, samsrite hastat, it is falling from my hands. I can't even hold on to my bow. Tvak chaiva paridahyate, and my whole body is hot. It's like I have a fever. He actually didn't have a fever, but with that confusion, he was feeling so agitated. Nacha shaknomi avasthatum. Avasthatum means I cannot even stand. Na shaknomi, I cannot even stand. And what is happening to my mind? Brahmativa, eva, as if my mind is spinning round and round. So my mind is spinning. I cannot hold on to my bow. My body is burning. And I'm not able to stand straight. I think people who came at 11, today we started at 10:30 because of the puja, but usually the classes are at 11, so I know you missed about half an hour, but usually classes start at 11. Today we had announced a class will start early due to the puja. We have a Guru Paduka puja at 12. So Arjuna here continues his story about what's happening to me, Krishna. I cannot even hold my bow. My body is hot. I cannot even stand still. I have to sit down, and my mind is spinning because I don't know what to do. And just as he always slept with his bow day and night, we do that with our laptop or our cell phone. I have to have it. Even in the middle of the night, if we wake up to go to the bathroom, we have to check, did any email come? That is our sickness. You know, we cannot leave my cell phone, my laptop. I have to have it. Otherwise, without it, I'm lost. So that's how he felt. He said, I'm lost without my Gandiva. How am I going to even do anything without this bow? Because why? Because I'm seeing these people whom I have to fight. So that is same thing as exam fever. As we said, you prepare for the exams. You are completely ready. You have studied. And then suddenly you sit there, and then these questions come and your head starts spinning and your eyes get dark. You can't even read the question. And you have worked so many months to prepare, and suddenly you are faced with a situation where you're supposed to answer. You cannot. So similarly, this exam, this test he had prepared for many, many years, and all of a sudden now he's faced with a challenging situation which he doesn't know how to handle. Now, why does Krishna bring his chariot in front of Bhishma and Drona, as we talked last week? He could have put it in front of Duryodhana, the evil, and Arjuna would have said, okay, let's fight, I am ready. But he put it deliberately in front of Bhishma and Drona, because he knew how much Arjuna respected them. So the reason is that he did not want Arjuna to go into this situation unprepared. See, you have to know why I am doing what I am doing. Unless you can internalize and understand why am I in any situation, whether you are working in the world or whether you are working in your house or whether you are in a leadership position or whether... You have to know why I am doing what I am doing. What is my goal in life? What is my purpose? And Krishna wanted Arjuna to understand the cause of the conflict. See, one is, of course, his kingdom was taken away. But the cause of the conflict was not just the taking away of the kingdom. The cause of the conflict is that there are these people who are ruling the country who are evil, and they have to be removed. If not, they will poison the whole country. It's like there is a, your hand has a gangrene or the foot has gangrene, diabetic. Now, if you don't cut off that hand, that's going to poison your whole body and is going to affect the whole body. So similarly, these people were poison upon the society. And if they had not been removed, the poison would have spread to the entire society. If the leaders are evil, the country becomes evil. So you have to solve a problem at the cause. You don't just treat the effect. The effect is, yes, there is a war. But what is the cause of the war? It's like, you know, you have accidentally left the tap on in your house and the house is flooding and flooding and it overflows the sink onto the carpet. And what you are doing, you are mopping the floor on one side. That's not going to solve the problem. You have to go and shut off the tap if you cannot shut it off from where the source is or whatever. Or it's like you go to a doctor and you have a fever and he just gives you 2 Tylenol. Okay, go home. You say, doc, no, I don't need Tylenol. I want to know, why do I have the fever? Do I have a throat infection or a urine infection? Or do I need antibiotics or is it viral? So all those questions a doctor has to answer. So Krishna wants Arjuna to remove his delusion. And through Arjuna, he's teaching all of us, because Arjuna was confused about his duty, and many times happens to us also, that I'm faced with a situation and what should I do? I know my duty is this, but I'm not doing it because of these reasons. So the Gita is a guide for us. So it is the cause and the effect. And Krishna wants Arjuna to solve the problem right now, not procrastinate, not put it in the future. Before we get into this situation, you take care of it. Otherwise, you'll say, come on, let's go ahead and we'll deal with it later. No, the problems have to be taken care of right now. And that's what happens to us many times. There is a problem in front of me, but I push it down the road. Okay, you know, maybe I'll deal with it later. And then what happens? The problem multiplies. It grows. And see, like an illness, you know, if you don't take care of it when it starts or something like that, then it will grow. Talking about procrastinate, so this boss was telling his employees, you know, he was giving a talk to them like a pep talk. The office wasn't doing very well. He says, you know what the problem is? You are all procrastinating. Do not procrastinate. What you are supposed to do, do it today. Do it now. That should be the motto of the company. So the all employees go away. A week later, his friend asks him, so you gave the pep talk to the employees? How did it go? He said, I gave them the pep talk. Do what you have to do right now. You know what happened? He says, what? He says, my secretary resigned and she took all our secrets and joined the opposite company. Really? And the finance manager, he cleaned out the bank. He left, took away all the money. And my assistant manager ran off with my wife. So he said, they all didn't procrastinate. They did what they were supposed to do. So sometimes, maybe it is not. So, but here Krishna wants him to decide right now. So the example they give is like, say I'm, you know, 5 or 7 years old, a boy and or a girl, and she's going for the first time in the roller coaster. And she has prepared from home, you know, I'm driving to Magic Mountain, I'm going to ride the roller coaster. And so while driving, all excited, you know, and then when he or she, the boy child, gets there on top of the roller coaster and then looks down, then is worried. And then the father says, look, don't worry, son, I am with you. You know, I am with you. So the father assures the child, sits with him, and then gets over the fear of the roller coaster. So similarly here, Krishna is using that same kind of therapy. Arjuna is confused. Arjuna is stressed out. He doesn't know what to do because he is suddenly scared. Not scared of the battle, but scared of the consequences. So Krishna says, don't worry, I am with you. And the point is that Kshatriya Dharma, Kshatriya, as we know, in all over the world, there are 4 classes. In India, they have been formalized by birth, but in fact, there are 4 groups. There are the Brahmanas, who are the intellectuals and the priests. Then the Kshatriyas, who are the leaders, the politicians, the leaders, the Vaishyas, who are the business people, and the Shudras, who are the workers. So it's not that one is inferior to the other. All four are required. You need people, secretaries and janitors and plumbers, as much as you need leaders, as much as you need business people. So a Kshatriya, his duty is to protect the country. When the country is under siege, when the wrong things are happening, it is his duty. In fact, Kshatriyani, the mothers of Kshatriyas, when they give birth to a boy, they know that this child of mine one day may be forced to fight a battle, and she will teach him from childhood, listen, if you go to battle, either you win or don't come back. I do not want you running away from battle. Either you win or you give up your life. That was the motto of Kshatriyanis. That's how they taught their child right from childhood. So the point is that the idea is he should be brave. He should not be a coward. In fact, my mother used to tell me a very beautiful phrase. She says, Janani jane to bhakt jane, ya data ya sur, nahi to janani banj bali, kahe gawaye noor. So he says a mother should either give rise to three kinds of people, one or the other. Bhakt, either the child should be a devotee, ya data, ya should be a very generous person who helps community, or sure, a warrior. So if you have a child, make sure they have one of these three qualities. Either they should be a great devotee of the Lord, should be a very generous person, or should be a brave person, not necessarily only to fight, but to deal with life. Otherwise, better to be barren. Otherwise, a mother should not have a child. Why is she wasting her youth in producing children? So if you produce a child, that should be your goal. So similarly, here, a Kshatriya's duty is to protect the country when the country is in danger, or like a Brahman's duty, like a Brahman mother. What will she tell a Brahman child? You know, what is for her the highest? If my son takes sannyas and becomes a sadhu and becomes a seeker of the truth. And she says, if you go to sannyas, don't come back. Just as a Kshatriya says, go to war, don't come back. So she says, yeah, if you're taking sannyas, that is wonderful, because that is the goal of a Brahmana. Or a Vaishya's mother, what will she say? You know, make a startup. If you are in the Bay Area, make a big startup and then sell it for her. And then, you know, once you start, don't come back. So each class of people have their individual goals. And that is what a mother should do, encourage the children to do the best. So that is the story so far, where Arjuna, even though he knows what is his goal, he gets confused. And we'll talk a little more about that in the next couple of verses. What was his confusion? Any questions, any comments so far?
You know, Kennedy's mother used to tell her children, no matter what you become, become a sweeper, or become the best in the world.
Mm-hmm.
So no matter what you become.
Yes, do the best. Right. Yes.
Just thinking, you know, you were talking about kind of like the different castes, you know, groups of people.
Right.
I mean, we all know there is that. But, you know, I always hear people, sometimes I think it too, is that it's like, you try to get something done for you, that, you know, it's too big a job for you to get done. It's like, it doesn't matter what you ask, you know, how much you're willing to pay, it's like, you can't get it.
Sorry, what is the question?
Well, is that not true? And why does that happen? Because, I mean, it's a certain caste.
Right, right.
So
right.
Why does this happen?
Yeah, okay. So I think originally these castes were made based on your ability. Krishna says in the Gita, Chatur Varna Maya Srishtam Guna Karma Vibhaga Yoho. So he says, I have made these castes based on your gunas, on your qualities, on your actions. It's not by birth. It was never intended to be by birth. If you are qualified to be a teacher, you become a teacher. If you are qualified to be a leader, you become a leader. If you are qualified to be a business person, you become a business person. And if you do not have these qualities, then go and work. Whatever, whether as a receptionist or a plumber or an electrician or, janitor or whatever you're qualified. But it was based on qualification, was not based on birth. But as happens, the caste system was corrupted because the Brahmins wanted to keep the intellectual power. So they said, my son will be a Brahmin. He may be a duffer. He may not be able to read. He may not be able to chant Sanskrit. Doesn't matter. I'll make him a priest. And a leader, you know, a king or a politician will say, just as if I am the leader of the country, prime minister, my son should also become, as we have seen in India, you know, Nehru and then Indira Gandhi, Rahul Gandhi, whether they are qualified or not, on and on and on. We have here also, you know, the Bush family or the Kennedy family, you know, the person may be qualified or may not be qualified. So just because, or like in India, you see the actors now, their sons, whether they know how to act or not, daughters automatically. So that is called corruption of this caste system, where my child should automatically be given that same job I have, whether he or she is qualified or not. So that's why the caste system, that's what Gandhiji fought against, that just because, and then the Shudra, he's condemned to be a Shudra. He can never rise above his caste. So the idea was that if a person is born to a poor person, but if he's very intelligent, there's no reason why he shouldn't go to university, become a PhD, become a professor, or, you know. So the caste system was contaminated by wrong understanding, and that's why in India, in our constitution, it has been outlawed, and they are trying to give more privileges to the lower castes to bring them up.
Yeah, that is true. I mean,
yes.
But what you still see is that there's a
yes.
Goal.
Yeah,
nobody wants to clean houses.
Right.
Nobody wants to do that. Nobody really wants to be a janitor. And while people will do it, there are some exceptions, of course. But
right.
In general.
No, you just have to pay more. I mean, you still get people to. It's becoming like they're becoming very expensive to hire people to clean your house, to hire maids. I remember when we were growing up, now it's they get earned 10 times as much. So, but yeah, the fact is, you know,
there's a real class system.
The class system is bad, and because it's hundreds of years of this, you know, thinking, it is not easy to in one generation to wipe it out. Hopefully in the next few years it will become less. That is the
poor groups are always going to stay.
Right.
No matter how much educated person is, all that. But what is bad is putting somebody down and somebody putting up.
Right.
That's bad. So your sweeper comes at home, he doesn't become low because he's a sweeper or he has a house, you know, work for you. He's equally important as I am.
Mm-hmm.
That's what is, I think, needed.
Right.
Some people are not able to do education, but they can become what they want to become. But they should be respected equally.
Yes.
It takes all kinds of people to make the world.
Right.
If everybody is an intellectual, who's going to listen to them?
Right.
No,
right.
They cannot become it.
No.
True.
We need all kinds of people to make the world.
Yes.
As an example, if everybody is a Kshatriya, who is going to fight for?
Right.
You have to encourage everyone to do their best.
Well, that's true. You know,
bad politicians,
bad doctors, bad, you know, teachers, you know, bad teachers who just come and put their feet up and because they have tenure. Okay, we can move on. So now, having now described the state of his body and mind, now he talks about the outsides. Now what he's seeing outside. First he has talked about himself. So he's now changing his tune. He's changing his track. So because he found that this didn't work. Because Krishna is sitting silent. He's not speaking a word. So he says, it doesn't look like, you know, he's understanding me. Krishna, I don't think you understand me. So he now starts another track. Now is verse number 31. Nimitani cha pashyami.
Nimitani cha pashyami.
Viparitani keshava.
Viparitani keshava.
Nacha shreyo nu pashyami.
Nacha shreyo nu pashyami.
Hatva svajanam ahave.
Hatva svajanam ahave.
So now Now he's first he was talking about himself, now he's talking what is happening around me. Nimitani cha pashyami. What do I see? I see bad omens. You know, like we have bad omens, like, you know, in India they say, oh, Kali Billi, you know, a black cat crossed the path. So they say, don't go, turn around and come back. It's considered a bad omen. So Krishna will say, so the cat crossed from right to left or from left to right? You know, so people have all these things. Or number 13, you know, nobody wants to stay on the 13th floor. They have removed 13th floor. I don't see what's wrong with, but no, nobody. So all these bad omens, sometimes something must have happened. And so somebody was walking and a black cat crossed and he had an accident. So since then, anytime. So here also, now Arjuna is trying a new track. He says, I don't see good omens. I feel it in my, I get the vibes. You know, I don't get good vibes. So all these words he's using, I don't see good omens. Viparit, and I see bad things, omen. Krishna, you don't know. The whole atmosphere is filled with bad vibrations. And he uses the word Keshava. Keshava is a very beautiful word, has many meanings. One is Keshava because he had this beautiful curly hair, you know, long curly hair, very beautiful face, and the dark curly hair looked very pretty on him. But the other meaning of Keshava, Sanskrit meaning, is that Ka, Sha, and Va, they break it out, Keshava. So Ka, actually this story comes from Vishnu Puran. What happens is that there are different Puranas in Hinduism. Vishnu Puran, where Vishnu Bhagwan is put the highest and the others are lower than him. And then in Shiv Puran, for a Shiv devotee, Shivji is the best. Others are gods are there, but for me, Shivji is high. Or in Devi Puran, Mother Goddess is the highest. All the other gods and goddess, like Saraswati, they say, oh, you know, even Brahma, Vishnu, Mahesh, they all get knowledge from her to function. So in Vishnu Puran, there was a story where Ka means Brahmaji and Sha means Shivji. So when Brahmaji and Shivji one time were facing a major problem in life, major catastrophe, there were some demons, Vishnu ran to save them. So Ka is Brahma, Sha is Shiva, and Va is ran. So he says, oh Keshava, you at one time even went and saved Brahmaji and Shivji when they were in trouble. Now I am in trouble, so you have to come and save me. So that is the meaning of the word Keshava. And omens we already talked about. And nimitani cha pashyami viparitani keshava na cha shreyo anupashyami. Shreya, I don't see anything good. Shreya, we'll talk about what is meaning of shreya anupashyami means clearly I don't see anything good. Hatva swajanam ahavai. In this battle to kill our own near and dear ones, I don't see anything good happening. Now we talked about Keshava, we talked about omens. Now let's talk a little bit about Shreya and Preya. Now these are two very important words, especially the Kathopanishad addresses these concepts very well. What is Shreya and what is Preya? So in life, the Upanishad says that we are always faced with two choices. One is Preya. Preya is what I like to do, what is pleasant, what is pleasurable. Now, what is pleasant or pleasurable may not necessarily be what is good. You know, like for a diabetic, you know, he likes to eat sweets, but that's not good for him because he will get sick, he will end up in the emergency room, and it's not good for society also, because if he's in the emergency room, then he gets admitted to the hospital, he'll be using up resources, occupying a, you know, hospital bed, spending so much money of the insurance company. So Preya is what I like to do. Shreya is what is good for me and good for society. One is saying, what is good for me, I don't care about society. That is also comes in Preya, where I care about what is good for me, but I do not care what is good for society. So Shreya means what is good for all. And so in life, when we are faced with these two situations, one, I like to do this, but this is the right thing that will help me and help others, then that choice has to be made very clearly. And Arjuna had read the Kathopanishad, so he knew that. So he tells Krishna, I don't see any Shreya in this. You know, I don't see anything good happening. Why? Because I do not see any good result. So in the commentary on this, Swami Bodhatmanandaji says that whenever we do any action, there are two kinds of result. One is adrishya phalam and one is drishya phalam. So drishya means I can see the result. When I do something, I see the result. Other one is I don't see the result now, but it will happen later. It's like a child takes a test. Now, one result is he gets good grades, you know, he passes and he gets an award and he gets, but this other later result is that by doing so well in studies, then I get into a good college and then I will go to a good university and end up with a good career. Because the habit of hard work he has developed in childhood, that I'm going to work hard, do well, then that same habit carries. So that is called the adrishya phalam that I may see later. Here, Arjuna first talks about the adrishya phalam, that which is not visible. See, when you do any good actions, one is the result you get in the world, but other one is what they say, go to heaven. You go to heaven and then your next life will also be good. If I have done a lot of good deeds in this life, when I leave this body, I will go to worlds that are pleasant, heaven, and then my next life will be good. I'll continue my journey. Or if I have done a lot of spiritual sadhana, spiritual activities, then same way, my life will continue. So here Arjuna says that normally for a kshatriya, for a warrior, if he fights a battle where he's fighting against evil, fighting against demons, he says Krishna, oh yeah, Keshava also means Keshi Nishudana, because Krishna had killed an evil demon called Keshi. So he says, you killed demons, that's right. See, you did the right thing, but I don't have demons in front of me. If there were demons, I would have no trouble fighting them. These are my own people. So by killing them, will I get heaven? See, adrishya phalam is, I'm not going to get heaven. A kshatriya gets heaven if he does his duty in the just cause. Here I don't see the cause as being just. So he's telling, I'm not going to get adrishya phalam. I'm not going to get heaven. Maybe in this world I may get the kingdom, but definitely I won't get heaven. So first he has talked about the adrishya phalam, what I cannot see. Now the second one, the next verse, he talks about drishya phalam, what will happen to me directly as a result of this war. So in verse number 32, nakangshe vijayam Krishna,
nakangshe vijayam Krishna,
nacha rajyam sukhani cha, kim no rajyena govinda,
kim no rajyena govinda,
kim bhogair jivitena va,
kim bhogair jivitena va.
So first was the adrishya phalam, that if a kshatriya fights in a war and he loses his life, he goes to heaven. Why? Because he lost his life in performing his duty. And it could be the same thing, like a policeman, you know, performing his duties, trying to catch a criminal, and the criminal shoots him and he ends up losing his life. So we honor him, you know, they have a, you know, even though it's a tragic, but, you know, he died in the line of duty. So they will have a badge for him and an honor, you know, and then he will go to heaven. Why? Because he gave up his life. So he says, Arjuna said, I'm not going to get heaven as a result of this war, and even on the world I don't want. Even the drishya phalam I don't want. Na kangshe vijayam Krishna. I do not want. Na kangshe means I do not wish vijayam. I do not wish victory. Na cha rajyam sukhanicha. And I do not even want the kingdom. Even this as a result of winning, what will I get? The kingdom of Hastinapur. Is it worth it? No, I do not want victory. I do not want the kingdom, O Krishna. And what is the use of this kind of kingdom? Kim Rajena Govinda. Govinda is another name for Krishna. Go means cow, and Vinda means he was a cowherd, he took care of cows. But the symbolic meaning is go also means sense organs. So the Lord of the sense organs, because the Lord within us is the one because of which my eyes are seeing, my mouth is talking, my ears are listening. So Govinda is the Lord of the sense organs. So he says, what is the use of having a kingdom? Kim bhoger jivite nava, and what is the use of enjoying these sense pleasures and living? How can we live with ourselves? How can we say, I'm enjoying now, I'm sitting in the palace and I have won the victory? And but how many thousands of innocent, not innocent, but how many thousand warriors have died? Their wives have become widows, their children have become orphans. So sitting there, you think we will be happy. So he is now using a different psychology, that I do not want adrishta phalam and I do not want the drishya phalam. I do not want the visible fruit of a kingdom and palace and all that, wealth and comfort, because to me it's not worth. Then he says, who are we fighting for? So he says, who are we fighting for? In verse number 33, Yesha Marthe Kangshitam Naha.
Yesha Marthe Kangshitam Naha.
Rajyam Bhoga Sukhani Cha.
Rajyam Bhoga Sukhani Cha.
Ta Ime Vasthita Yudhe. Pranastyaktva dhanani cha. Acharyav pitarav putraha.
Acharyav pitarav putraha.
Tathaiva cha pitamaha.
Tathaiva cha pitamaha.
Matula shvashurav pautraha. Shala sambandhinastatha. So yesham. See, when somebody goes, say goes to work or goes to war or goes for a project, why does he go? For his family. And he said, why are you going to work in the morning? To take care of my family, my wife, my children, my grandchildren, you know, whatever. So here also, if somebody is going, so I'm going on this project to take care of my children, but their children are right here. His own son was there in the war, Duryodhana's son was there. And then he says, Yesham arthe kangshitam na, for we are want to win. Why? So Rajyam Bhoga Sukhanicha, we want to enjoy the kingdom and all the joys of the kingdom, all the pleasures. And we want to work and earn for our children so that our children may be comfortable. But they are all here. All our whole families are here. Ta ime avasthita yudhe. They are all here in this battle. Pranans tyaktva dhananicha. And those who are here are ready to give up their life. And I know that a lot of these people won't be alive after this war. So they have given up their life. They have given up their wealth. So here the mistake Arjuna makes when he says, I do not want kingdom, I do not want victory, I do not want wealth, I do not want comfort, I do not want. He's talking about I. And see, I and mine, obviously, you know, and that is the biggest problem. He's forgetting the we. See, that we are doing this for the benefit of society. As we said, there is a poisonous element in society that needs to be eliminated. Yes, unfortunately. And they tried, you know, the Pandavas tried their best not to be a war. They tried to have peaceful settlement. But Duryodhana was not ready. He was not even ready to give them an inch of land, even though he had illegally stolen it from them. We'll talk about that later on. But Arjuna still thinks, I am fighting against my people and I and will be. So Krishna says, it's not about you. And that is what we forget when we go out to work. You are not working for you. You are not working for I, myself, my family. you are doing what is good for all. And that's what Krishna teaches him throughout the Bhagavad Gita. Arjuna, this battle is not about you fighting against these people. It is you are working for a higher cause. And the higher cause is what is good for the whole of society. That's what they say. No, there is no I in team. You know, there's a famous statement. In team, there is no I. So when a whole team is, that's what happens even in any sport. In basketball, say one person is hogging the ball and doesn't share it and he keeps shooting, the team will lose. Why? Because he has to pass the ball. He has to share it equally. Whoever is open should have an opportunity. Or in a company, in a corporation, if one person wants all the glory and wants all the fame and he doesn't share it with others, after some time people say, okay, you go ahead and do it. You know, you do it. And then the company will not do well. So same way here, Arjuna is thinking that I am fighting the war and Krishna is very silent. You know, it's like a psychiatrist. Like you go to a psychiatrist and you lie down on his couch and 1 hour you talk, doctor, I have this problem. My wife doesn't listen. My children don't listen. My work, my this. I'm stressed. I can't sleep. And 1 hour he sits silent. Doesn't speak a word. Afterwards, $150. You pay him just to listen. So here Krishna is like a psychiatrist. He says, let him talk. Let him keep on talking. You know, let him finish. See, because in an argument or in a discussion, if one person is talking, it's like a husband and wife. Now one person is very angry and is talking and the other one also starts talking. What will happen? There will be a fight. So person said, let him finish. You know, whatever he wants to say, let him finish his arguments, then quietly I will answer. So here also Krishna says, let him finish whatever he wants to say, then I will start my discourse, second chapter, verse 10. So first till the first chapter, he says, let him talk. So here, he says, the one whom we are here for fighting for are already stationed in this war. Yeah, yeah.
And the commentary says that all these symptoms are typical of a mental disease called anxiety state neurosis. You
know? Right.
And then he's trying to rationalize why he shouldn't fight because this state of fear didn't come to him until the chariot was like right between,
right.
You know, the two
mm-hmm.
factions. And so what I got out of it is that he was kind of scared.
Yeah, actually, today the class started half an hour earlier. We had announced it and sent an email because we have a puja at 12, sorry. But I did address that because Arjuna actually at one time when he was in hiding for 1 year, you know, as a result of that, when they had lost in gambling 12 years in the forest and 1 year in hiding, at the end of that 1 year, there was an occasion where the king whose kingdom he was hiding in, his son, they were attacked by the Kauravas. And so his son goes to fight and Arjuna is his chariot driver. And the son is so afraid because he says, I have to face the whole Kaurava army. Arjuna says, look, you start driving, you hold the chariot, give me the weapons. And Arjuna single-handedly had fought the entire Kaurava army and won. Of course, there were not that many other kings. But and then also I mentioned a story, I think, which you missed, where he had fought Lord Shiva himself. So he was not afraid, he was not fearful about his abilities and the army did not scare him. He could, and he had the Lord on his side. So in fact, there's another time, there's another story where I can maybe some other time tell it, but he was not afraid of the army. He could foresee the tremendous tragedy that was happening and he took it upon himself that I am responsible for this tragedy. So physically, he knew that he could handle himself. And he even knew that even if I die, you know, it is in a good cause. So he was not physically afraid of the army. He knew which army he's going to face. He knew all the warriors. But when he saw Drona and Bhishma, whom he respected, suddenly he realized that these are the, and he will talk about later on. He says, these are the people I should be worshipping. You know, your guru and your grandfather. He said, instead of worshipping, I'm going to be shooting arrows at them and, you know, kill them. and he saw the fratricidal war, the two sides of the family and the whole country. But, you know, there was no choice. So I don't think, so his fear was not of winning the war. His fear was of the consequences of the war. That's how I analyzed the Gita. Right.
The commentary says that Krishna, with his pregnant silence, was criticizing Arjuna's attitude and whipping Arjuna into a sense of shame.
Right.
So rather than just being silent, I mean, at least the commentary says that he's trying to make Arjuna
yes.
ashamed.
Yeah, because it's like you keep on talking and shouting, and the other person is just peacefully, calmly sitting, and you're screaming. And the more that person becomes calm, the more you get angry. And then, you know, the idea is that why are you shouting? Why are you speaking in hysterical? So he wants him to realize that what he's doing is wrong. And then there is no point at this moment in arguing. So his sometimes silence is more powerful than speech. And it'll make you afraid, you know, make you think that why am I shouting? It's like in an argument. If one person, you know, keeps on shouting, and the other person said, I don't even want to honor your arguments by replying. So then you automatically, that what you are saying is not even worth replying. So that is the idea. That he wants him to realize what he's saying. And later through the whole, otherwise the 700 verses are to address his various arguments. So Krishna has addressed them throughout the Bhagavad Gita.
So what is the Arjuna disease?
Arjuna disease is that when throughout life he had prepared for this occasion, and when the occasion came, he did not know what is my duty, what am I supposed to do, and so he goes into this shock, which is called Arjuna Vishad Yoga. The first chapter is called the Yoga of Arjuna's grief. So Arjuna, that's what we'll talk in the next one. But what they say, that when you are under stress, what do you do? See, when you are under grief, whom do you cry in front of? See, whom you cry in front of determines what. And so Arjuna, because he cried in front of the Lord, even his crying became a yoga, because he learned from Krishna what is his duty, and through Arjuna we have all learned. So that is Arjuna's disease, that not knowing what to do and not doing the right thing. Thank you. Yeah, today we started a little earlier, and I think I've been sending the emails. Okay, so he says, so the ones for whom we are fighting, so he uses the word bhoga and sukha. Yesham arthe kankshitamna rajyam bhoga sukhani cha. For those whom we do not want, rajya, bhoga and sukhani. So yesham arthe, for these people, kankshitam naha. Naha means we desire. What do we desire? Rajyam, the kingdom, bhoga, the pleasures. Now, bhoga are the comforts and the joys, and sukhani are the pleasures. Ta ime avasthita yudde. They are here in front of us, ready to give up their life. Now, what is the difference between bhoga and sukha? So, in the commentary that I heard, bhoga is what I enjoy, and sukha is what happens in my mind. Like say I eat a ice cream or I eat a pizza. Now first I get the taste. So that is bhoga. But then the joy it creates within me. Oh, I enjoy that ice cream. I enjoyed that food. And then I want to go get more. And then I want to repeat that experience. And it could be any joy. You know, I bought this, or I made my first, you know, million. Then I got some joy. Then I want second, and I want third. And then I want to cheat others so I can get more and more. So bhoga is the joy in getting, and sukha is the internal, internal manifestation of that joy. So that's why he uses these two words. And they are sitting here ready to give up their battle, to give up their life in the battle. And who are those? So again, Arjuna repeats what earlier Sanjay had repeated in his commentary, acharyaha. Acharyaha means teachers. So Arjuna could see his teachers. Dronacharya, Kripacharya, these were his two teachers, and they were in front of me. Pitara means parents. So So like he was there, his son was there, Pitra Putraha. So father and son, they were there. Oh, so many, they were pair of parents and children, so sons. Tathaivacha Pita Mahaha, and even grandfathers, because he could see his own grandfather. Bhishma Pitamaha there, who was very respected. He was universally respected. And Matula. Matula means uncles. So like there was Shakuni Mama, who was uncle of Duryodhana. Shvashura. Shvashura means father-in-law. So if like somebody was married, his father-in-law was also fighting. And Pautra, grandchildren. Like, you know, now Abhimanyu, he was a grand, you know, son of, you know, like that. So Pautraha, Shyala. Shyala means brother-in-law. So like Krishna was Arjun's brother-in-law because Krishna's sister, Subhadra, was married to Arjuna. So Arjuna said, hey, Krishna, if something happens to you in this battle, how will I go and face Subhadra and tell her, look, your brother didn't survive. So Krishna says, look, you don't need to worry about me, number one. And number two, when I am with you, you don't need to worry about yourself either. See, because when the Lord is with you, you know, Janaki Nath Sahai Kare, to Kona Bigad Kare, they say, when the Lord is with you, nobody can affect you, whether it's the planets, whether it's your enemies, whether it's a plane crash. If you are destined to survive, if the Lord is with you, nothing can happen. So he says, Sambandhina, and all different relatives are here. So for the people for whom we are fighting, they are themselves here. So who are we fighting for? So again, as I said, he's still thinking about I, me, and my, instead of what is good for the community, what is good for the country. Here now, he comes up with a different argument. See, he finds that Krishna is, in fact, Krishna was smiling. He was not even, one is being silent, but that's one thing about Krishna. He was always smiling, no matter how bad the situation is, he was very cool. He says, let him keep on talking. I mean, right now he's in a hysterical frame of mind. If I interrupt him, it will just exacerbate it. Let him finish whatever he has to say, and which he does. Krishna lets him talk. And in fact, as I said, in the first chapter, he only said one line. See these Kauravas, you know, Pashya Etan Parth Kuruniti. Oh, Arjuna, see the, and after that Krishna doesn't speak a single word. The whole conversation is by Arjuna, and then in the second chapter, then Krishna starts his teaching. So now he comes up with a different argument, which is now a unique argument in verse number 35. Etan hantum icchami. Natopi Madhusudana Api Trailokya Rajyasya Hetu Kim Numahi Krite. So he says, Etan, these people, na hantum icchami, I do not desire to kill them. Natopi Madhusudana, even if they kill me, I'm ready to just sit down here without my weapons. Anyway, I cannot hold my Gandhi. Let them come and kill me. I don't care. I'm not going to kill them. Why? I do not desire to kill them. Why? He says, why am I fighting? So just for a kingdom, right? A small kingdom of Hastinapur. I do not wish to kill them. Api Trailokya Rajyasya. Even if you give me the kingdom of three lokas, you know, there are three worlds, Om, Bhur, Bhuva. You know, there are three worlds. Om, of course, is the highest reality, but Bhuva, Swaha. Om, Bhur, Bhuva, Swaha. Bhur means the earth, Bhuva means the lower worlds, like the worlds of the Pitras, our ancestors, and Swaha is heaven. And then, of course, the Gayatri Mantra goes beyond that. Tat Savitur Varenyam, the supreme reality. I won't go into that. Gayatri Mantra will be covered later on. But he says, even if I get kingdom of all the three worlds, the kingdom of the whole earth and the middle worlds of the ancestors and angels And even if I become king of heaven, you say, okay, I get Indra's post, you know, or in Greek, Zeus, I become the head of the heaven, the earth, and the intermediate worlds. Even then, I do not wish to fight. Forget about fighting for, you know, just for a kingdom. Of little kingdom of Hastinapur, it's not worth it. So I am not ready to fight even if I am given the highest kingdom. So his idea again, it is I don't want to fight. I am going to be the king. I am going to be the ruler. So again and again, Ichhami. So the me is coming everywhere. I, me, you know, that's what he's saying. So he says, even if you give me all the three lokas, you know, I do not wish to fight. Forget about this small little kingdom of Hastinapur, which for me, I do not think it is worth it. So that is his argument. And as I said, you know, he did not have the right knowledge, and Krishna is still silent. There is a lot more to talk about dharma and all, which on this particular verse, so I'll do that next week. Because here we see that he is failing from his duty, what is dharma. And there's a very lengthy commentary, so I'll do that next week. So the verse number 35 we'll do next week. 1 or 2 minutes, any questions, any comments, anything so far, what we have done?
I feel that Arjuna was scared or didn't want to do this because he had an attachment to his cousins.
Yes.
He loved his cousins and he didn't want to. And he knew that no matter what, the victory was on his side.
Right.
And all these people are going to die. And he felt it that they're all going to die in my hands. And
right.
That's why he tells
Absolutely.
Krishna, I don't want to.
Right, right. Though he knew they were evil, because later on he calls them felons. Atataina, in verse number 36, he says these are evil. And he knew because they had been evil to him from childhood. Drona had tried, Duryodhana had tried to poison them, had tried to burn them, had taken away their kingdom, taken away their wife. So he knew, and that's why all these insults were accumulating for 12 years when he was thinking again and again how I had been mistreated. But at that last moment, his nerves failed him. It's like, you know, at the last moment for an exam when you go. But you're right, it was his attachment to the result. So that's what Bhagavad Gita says, do what is right, do not worry about the result. Do what is right with the right attitude, the result will take care of itself. No, you're right, very much true. Back, you have a question, comment?
Yeah, just wondering why is it that, well, Krishna smiling and then just waiting there, and it's like he knows what's happening all along. So it looks like he's deciding this plot. Maybe he just want to teach us something, a lesson. That's what we hear, but maybe he's just determining the destiny by itself.
Yeah, no, I think more than that, he wants Arjuna to finish. He says, go ahead and finish what you have to say. And he's just patiently waiting, silently, and, you know, with a soft smile. He says, I know this guy's under hysteria. He's not thinking correctly. So if you try to interrupt him, all you will do is just prolong the misery. So he says, let him finish. And the entire first chapter, he talks for all the how many ever verses are there. 47 verses. Arjuna is constantly speaking one after the other, different arguments. Next week we shall see some additional arguments from Arjuna. And so Krishna says there's no point interrupting, let him finish. So, and also this way we are getting a complete picture of what will happen as a consequence of this war. So that the author through Arjuna is wanting us to know what is the consequences of any action and what is Arjuna's confusion? That is made clear to us so that then the Krishna's answer makes more sense. Otherwise, Krishna out of the blue starts giving a discourse. You know, here, sit down, I want to talk to you. It doesn't make sense. It's just like all the Upanishads in our scriptures, they are all dialogue between student and teacher. It is not a discourse. The student goes to the teacher and says, Guru, I have this problem. I have this question. There's a whole Upanishad called Prashna Upanishad, where the entire Upanishad is questions raised by the student, which the teacher then answers. So the point is that the teacher should only address if the student has a problem. Otherwise, I call somebody and say, come here, I want you to listen to me. You know, you're wasting my time. But if the student has a problem, then and then the discourse makes sense. So Krishna is letting us see the whole problem of Arjuna's and the whole society at that time. See, what happens is when one individual is confused, that's different. But when whole society is going in the wrong way, that is when the Lord appears. You know, Krishna says in the 18th chapter, Yada yada hi dharmasya lanir bhavati bharata abhyutanam adharmasya tadatmanam srijamyam. He says, whenever goodness is going down and evil is rising, that's when I appear. God says, I appear. And God has appeared several times in different forms. You know, whether he appeared as Shankaracharya or Swami Chinmayananda or Jesus or Buddha. So he appears at different times to do different purposes. For different purposes of bringing up the good and suppressing the evil. So here he wants us to see that the whole society was going downhill and needed to be saved. And that's why Krishna appeared at that time. So by his silence, he's just letting him talk.
Right.
And one by one, he's addressing all his doubts. Yes. Yes, right. And he will make some very rational points, Arjuna. Arjuna was not, he was very educated. He had studied the Upanishads. He was very brilliant mind. So his arguments are very valid, but in not in the context. See, they would be in certain context, yes. But in this particular context, they are not valid. And that's what the message is. Yes.
See, Hastinapur is a small kingdom. Yes. In the entire India, Mahabharata. Why is it called Mahabharata?
No, Hastinapur was the most powerful kingdom. It was the biggest, the most powerful. And it was dominating India. India was dominated by them. And the other kingdoms were all smaller.
And this war was for all the mankind.
Yes, because all the kings from other kingdoms also came. Kings from both sides came. You know, practically whole of India was involved. Om Sarve Bhavantu Sukhinah, Sarve Santu Niramayah, Sarve Bhadrani Pashyantu, Ma Kashchid Dukha Bhagave. Om Shanti 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 Hari Om Shri Krupyo Namah Hari Om.